On one of my most recent commentaries, I spoke about Howard Marks and shared some of his investing philosophies with you. Today, I want to share 12 key insights that are commonly shared by the top 99 investors in the world. But first, let me give you some background. Magnus Agenfeldt is a retired hedge fund manager and financial journalist from Sweden who recently wrote a book titled The World's 99 Greatest Investors, The Secret of Success, where he looks at the top 99 investors by highest absolute returns, irrespective of investment style. His lists include names you know and many you may not know, folks like John Bogle from Vanguard, of course Warren Buffett, Leon Cooperman, Ken Fisher, Mario Gabelli, Carl Icahn, Mark Mobius, and on, there's quite a few names here. Agenfeldt says, on average, his chosen 99 investors outperform the market by about 12 percentage points each year for 25 years. In the top 99, investing styles vary quite a bit, from value investing to speculating to quantitative-based trading. More than half of the top 99 are from the U.S., and of these, about half are value investors who buy good stocks when they're marked down. But his list does not include prominent investors such as bond king Bill Gross of PIMCO, and for a simple reason. As Agenfeldt puts it, neither Gross nor any other investor who solely focuses on bonds made the cut because their returns just are simply not high enough relative to the returns on equity investments. And the list has no women either, again, simply because no women made the cut purely on returns delivered over 25 years, even though the author names women investors such as Susan Byrne of Westwood Management, who has produced better returns than many men, but just not enough to qualify for the top 99. And one of my favorite investment websites, GuruFocus.com, compiled a list of Agenfeldt's top 12 insights that were common to almost all of the top 99. So here's the list. Number one, be true to yourself. As Guy Spier, a Harvard-trained investor, puts it, my job is to be Guy Spier. I'm not going to do a very good job being Bill Ackman or Warren Buffett, but I'm going to do a damn good job of being Guy Spier, better than anyone on the planet. Everybody's path is unique, and I think it's really, really important that we find our own path. Number two, know your strengths and weaknesses. And there's really no commentary to this except my own, which basically is that once you learn what your strengths are and your weaknesses are, you are in the home stretch of being a successful investor. And sticking with your strengths and keeping your weaknesses at bay and working to strengthen your weaknesses will help you immeasurably. Number three, consider the risks, not the potential. You see, this one goes back to Howard Marks' comment on playing not losers tennis, which is basically about focusing on the risks as much as on the rewards so you avoid loss-making investments. Number four, be prepared to change your strategy if the market changes. And this is a key insight. A lot of changes over a 25-year period. Just compare, for example, our world and lifestyle in 1989 as to where it is today. Much has changed, so these top 99 investors have been very adept at keeping their ears to the ground for seismic changes in the investing landscape and making moves ahead of others to deliver these outstanding returns without being stuck to rigid strategies, while also being core to their fundamental approach to investing. So, for example, Buffett was a value investor then and is a value investor now, but he has changed his strategy over the years, from small businesses to big businesses, from domestic only to international, from non-tech to selectively tech, so markets evolve and great investors evolve with them. One other thing that Buffett did is he would buy what they used to call old cigar butts, meaning companies that just had one puff left in them, pay an incredibly low price and liquidate it at a higher price and make money, and then he changed his investment strategy to reflect buying great companies at fair prices, a big change that led to tremendous success. All right, number six, don't let your emotions cloud your judgment. You know, this is the one every investor knows about, but still, most of us appear to be powerless against our own emotions. But I think you can train yourself to be an objective investor. And the best way to do so has more to do with research and knowing what you own and doing the due diligence necessary. If you get that right, chances are emotions will not cloud your judgment. You see, in life too, I think our emotions tend to rule where we are low on facts about the situations we face. And in such cases, we tend to gut react. But where you know your facts and the playing field well, emotions play a much smaller role in decision making and objectivity kicks in. So, link point number 6 to thorough investment research, and I think half your battle is also won. And by the way, what I do in really bad markets is I go back to the books, I start reading what the great investors have done, I get my head screwed back on straight, get my emotions under control so I can make clear-headed decisions. Number 7, don't invest in something you don't understand. This is Buffett through and through. A great example of that was that he famously sat out the dot-com boom. Number 8, be disciplined and work hard. Truly evaluating an investment from all angles is a lot of work. So discipline and hard work are always key pillars that hold up great investment portfolios. Number 9, only do business with reputable companies and guard your reputation. Reputation really is everything for an ethical business person or investor. For example, Warren Buffett has been invited into several perilous situations through his investing career simply because people knew he could be trusted under the worst of circumstances. And Buffett has profited handsomely from those plays without an iota of unethical behavior. Number 10, don't underestimate the efficiency of the market and don't overestimate its perfection. Value investors believe the market often misprices investments on the upside and on the downside. So savvy investors should also understand that it's foolhardy to take on the market because the market almost always has more staying power than you do. So even when you know you're right, the market could easily go against you far longer than you can tolerate. And especially if you trade on margin, you can be right, but by the time you're proved right, you may be insolvent. That's not a position you ever want to be in. Number 11, it's not wrong to make mistakes, but it's wrong to fail to learn from them. And finally, number 12, patience is a virtue in investing as in all else. Where you've done your due diligence correctly, it pays to wait and sit out the bad times, or sometimes add to your positions if the market moves against your stocks. But patience only makes sense if you've done your research thoroughly and are very sure your investment thesis is fundamentally sound. On the flip side, it's a fool's errand to buy a stock on hearsay and sit patiently while it tanks for good reason. In many cases, you're often better off cutting your losses than watching your position sink. So yes, patience is a virtue, but make sure you use it in context. You know, as Anthony Robbins once said, the secret to success in any field is to find what successful people do, think about it, and act on, and do the same. So hopefully, you'll incorporate some of these 12 points into your investing approach going forward so you can make the top 99 list 25 years from now.